You have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Revelation chapter 21 and verses 1 through 8 as we finish up our series, Good News for Bad Times. Revelation chapter 21, starting in verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I just thank you for that promise of heaven. And I pray, Lord, that we would leave here today more convinced than ever that heaven is really waiting for us. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. For the last 3 years, gazillionaires Richard Branson of Virgin Atlantic and Jeff Bezos of Amazon have been building rockets to blast themselves into outer space. Because when you got just about as much money as God and all the time in the world and you're bored out of your mind, I guess that's what you do. So last July the 11th, Richard Branson blasted off from New Mexico. Last July the 20th, Jeff Bezos blasted off from West Texas. And holy cow, the world went absolutely gaga. Oh my goodness, all hail the original space cowboys. But people, what in the world is the big deal? Richard Branson spent $5.5 billion for 4 minutes, 5 miles above the earth. Jeff Bezos spent $5 billion for 3 minutes above the earth. They went on a joyride to outer space for 7 minutes for $11 billion. But folks, one of these days, I'm going to go to heaven, all the way to heaven, and stay there forever for absolutely free. Christians, the good news is, in spite of all the bad things that are going on here right now, we are going home to heaven some sweet day. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us why. We're finishing up a series here this morning at Fox River, a series called Good News for Bad Times. Looking at all kinds of good news that God has for us that gives us victory over all the bad news we get every single day. And today we finish this series by looking at the good news that heaven is still waiting for us. And to see that, we turn this morning to Revelation chapter 21 and verses 1 through 8. In the last days, after Jesus Christ reigns and rules out of Jerusalem during the 1,000-year millennium, He's going to destroy the old heaven and earth and create a new one. And then everybody who has ever lived or died is going to stand before God and be sent to either heaven or hell, depending on whether or not they trusted Christ for salvation. And in our text today, the angel starts showing John exactly what heaven is like and tells him, keep hoping for it because heaven is still waiting for us. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today we need to keep hoping for it too for exactly the same reason. Our text this morning, Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 8, tells us 3 reasons why heaven is still waiting for us and why we need to make sure that we're going there. And let's look and see what those 3 reasons are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why heaven is still waiting for us is because that heavenly city is still waiting for us. And that's exactly what the angel is showing John here in verses 1 and 2. And regardless of what the world tells you, that heavenly city is a real place. It's not like Smallville, where Superman lives. It's not like the Emerald City, where the Wizard of Oz is. It's not like Gotham City, where Batman lives. It's the Holy City, the City of God, where Jesus lives. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. And verses 1 and 2 here tell us that city is real, and it's still there. I saw a new heaven and earth. New because Jesus destroyed the old heaven and earth after the millennium. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. And that word new means totally brand new. So Jesus isn't just going to rebuild the old earth down to the studs. He's going to create a totally brand new one. Not a fixer-upper, but a total do-over. And that word heaven in the Bible can refer to either the blue sky around the earth, the atmosphere, or the rest of the universe around the earth, the black sky, or heaven where Jesus lives. And because it's never been contaminated by sin, it doesn't need a makeover. So the new heaven and the new earth means a totally new atmosphere and a totally new universe around the totally new earth with the heavenly city Jerusalem sitting on top of it. Not the old Jerusalem in Israel that Jesus rules out of during the millennium. The heavenly Jerusalem that never changes. And I know somebody's asking, okay, Kevin, but what's heaven then? Is it the city? Is it the new earth? Is it the new universe? Yeah. All three. It's all heaven. And verse 25 says, the gates of the city are always open so the redeemed can constantly come and go and explore every cubic millimeter of the glory of God. Or did you think you were just going to be doing cloud storage and eating angel food cake all the while you were up there? And verse 1 says, there was no sea. All through the Bible, the sea represents evil and turmoil. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, the Antichrist comes out of the sea. So no sea in heaven, no evil in heaven. And John says, beautiful beyond description. Folks, there are places in this world that are so gorgeous they take your breath away. Like the Grand Canyon and Glacier National Park. And just think, if those places are marred by sin and still look that incredible, sinless heaven is going to absolutely blow our minds. Eye has not seen or ear heard or mind conceived the glory that God has prepared for those who love Him. Do you see what's coming? Do you see what's waiting for us? If you're going there. Because the problem is, too many people today don't believe in any kind of heaven at all. Shock jock Howard Stern said this, here's what happens when you die. You lay in a box and get eaten by worms. I guarantee you that when you die, nothing cool happens. See what I mean? Mel Blanc, who voiced every cartoon character from Bugs Bunny to Porky Pig, had that chiseled on his tombstone. That's all, folks. No concept of life after death at all. That Netflix series, Surviving Death, and that Pixar movie for kids called Soul, is all New Age claptrap. Listen to me. You want to survive death, you got to go to Jesus Christ. And worst of all kinds of people today believe that there is some kind of a heaven and just automatically assume that everybody's going there. Last Wednesday, Dusty Miller, the long-beard bass player for ZZ Top, died at the age of 72. And right away, Rolling Stone magazine tweeted out this. Dusty Miller is now showing God what a sharp-dressed man looks like. But how do they know that? How does Rolling Stone magazine know that Dusty Miller went to heaven? They don't. They don't have a clue. Folks, how many of y'all realize there is a heaven, but not everybody's going? I don't know if all dogs go to heaven, but I do know that all people don't. And you know why the Bible tells us a lot more about hell than it does about heaven? So you won't go to hell. And to make you just thirsty enough for heaven that you'll go there and find out for yourself. Verse 7 says, anyone who is thirsty, come and drink of the free gift of the water of life. You ever get to the Ponce de Leon Archaeological Park in St. Augustine, Florida, you can drink from the original fountain of youth that Spanish explorer Ponce de Leon drank from 450 years ago. And for $20 to get into the place, you can get your photo op of you drinking from the fountain of youth. Sue and I got to go there back in 2015. And drinking that water is supposed to keep you from getting old and supposed to keep you from dying. But the problem is, the water's got so many minerals in it, it tastes awful. And as you can see, 6 years after I drank that water, my eyes are getting worse, my teeth are getting worse, and my hair's getting grayer. The fountain of youth doesn't work, people. So all you do is drink that nasty water for $20, you'll go to hell. But listen, if you drink that living water and confess your sins to God and put your faith in the cross of Jesus Christ to take your sins away and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior, you'll go to heaven. And that's not only true about you, it's also true for the people that you love the most. The picture you see on the screen is my dad, Robert Garner. My dad farmed his entire life. But what my dad really lived for was hunting and fishing. In fact, my dad barely made it out of high school with a D-minus-minus average because there was way too much coon hunting to be done. My dad needed bifocals to read a newspaper, but he could see a coyote sneeze from 5 miles away. And his friends called him One Shot because it only took my dad one shot with a .222 to bring down a coyote or a fox when it was on the run. And I never doubted one bit that my dad loved us. But my dad never knew the Lord. His parents never took him to church growing up. And the only reason my dad ever started going to church with me and my mom and my two brothers is because he found out he could go out for breakfast afterwards while we were in Sunday school. In fact, the day I got confirmed, my dad flat out told me, I don't believe in any of that God stuff. Now, because of all the farming and the hunting and the walking, my dad was never sick one day in his life, never even had a headache. Till 1996, my dad was 62 years old, we found out my dad was losing his short-term memory. He'd forget that he just combined 20 acres of beans. He'd get in his truck and go to a neighbor's house and be driving around for hours because he forgot where he was going or even where he was. He'd go to town to get something, come home without it because he forgot it. And we took him to doctors. Doctors said, well, it's probably a thyroid problem, probably a vitamin B12 deficiency. One doctor told us my dad was getting Alzheimer's. But it just kept getting worse and worse. So finally we took him to Mercy Center in Aurora to a neurosurgeon for a brain scan. And the night before that brain scan, I went to the church, the old church back in the country, praying for my dad around that little circular altar. And the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, it's a tumor and it's bad. So I knew exactly what was coming. Next day that scan was over. Doctor put that scan up on the lighted board, said, your dad has a grade 4 astrocytoma. And I'll never forget my sister-in-law asked the doctor, well, what do we do for that? The doctor shook his head and said, there isn't anything we can do for grade 4 astrocytomas. My dad had a cancerous, inoperable tumor right smack dab in the middle of his brain that would eventually kill him because there was no cure. Folks, listen to me. It does happen to people like us. And you talk about something hard to deal with, but you know what made it better? April 7, 1998, they did a biopsy on my dad to officially grade that tumor up at Mercy Center. And I went with my dad into that little pre-op room and helped him get that stupid gown on. It's back when you could still have a conversation with him. And I told my dad, Dad, you know this is serious, right? And he said, yeah. And he started to cry. And I said, Dad, I've got to know, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sins and rose from the dead for your salvation? He said, yes, I do believe that. I said, but Dad, have you ever prayed to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior? And he said, no. And I said, Dad, would you like to do that? And he said, yeah. So we got on our knees on that cold tile floor. I led my dad through the sinner's prayer. And my dad prayed to receive Christ as his Savior. 7 months later, Thanksgiving Day, 1998, he was dead. And folks, as hard as it was during those 7 months, as hard as it was to deal with, to watch him go downhill and get worse and worse and weaker, if that's what it took to get him serious about spiritual things, if that's what it took to get him saved, the only thing I can say is praise God for that brain tumor. People, listen to me. You get in that kind of a situation, you better know what it is that you believe. And you better know that heaven is a real place. And you better know for sure that you're going there. And not only you, but the people that you love the most. And here's the good news. Folks have loved ones die. They say, well, I lost so-and-so or I lost so-and-so. I can tell you I did not lose my dad because I know where he is. And if you know where something is, it ain't lost. I know that my dad is in that heavenly city. And before you know it, soon and very soon, by faith in Jesus Christ, I'm going to that heavenly city too. And I'm going to see him again. The first reason why heaven is still waiting for us is because that heavenly city is still waiting for us. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second reason why heaven is still waiting for us. Not only because the heavenly city is still waiting for us, because the Lord is waiting for us there. Which is the greatest thing about heaven of all. And why? Because the number one reason why God ever created human beings was to live in perfect, unbroken fellowship with them. Every single day in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve would grab their Fitbits and go for a walk with God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. But then Adam and Eve sin broke that fellowship with God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. So after that, even though God was with His people, His presence, His Shekinah glory, was always behind a curtain in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle, or later on in the temple in Jerusalem. And only one priest, one day of the year, got to go in there and be close to it. Because God was so holy, no one could ever see God's face and live. Exodus chapter 33, verse 20. And even though during the first century some people did get to see God in the form of Jesus Christ, they still never got to see God in all of His glory. But verse 3, one day when we get to heaven, God Himself, the presence of God, the Shekinah glory, everything about God will be with us. And we will see Him face to face in all of His glory, up close and personal. Revelation chapter 21, verse 24. The greatest thing about heaven, the Lord will be there. And why? Because that is the number one thing that every single one of us, deep down inside, really wants. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says, all things are created by Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ, including you and me. You were created by God to know Him through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't change it. You can't help it. God created you with a hole in your heart that only He can fill. He created you with a hunger for Him so that you would seek Him and find Him. And if you don't have Him, nothing else in the whole wide world will ever satisfy you or fill you up. That's why J-Lo broke up with A-Rod last April the 14th after shacking up with him for 4 years. And then immediately went right back to actor Ben Affleck, whom she dumped back in 2003. Even though he's going through alcohol rehab right now. Because I guess anything's better than nothing. He is the 23rd guy that J-Lo has hooked up with since her career started. 23! She's had more hands on her than a men's room doorknob. And you know why? Because when she doesn't get 100% total satisfaction from a guy, she just dumps him and goes find another one. Looking in guys for something that she can only find in God. J-Lo's looking for God and doesn't even know it. That's why Jeff Bezos is trying to be Buck Rogers of the 21st century. Because even though he's worth over $200 billion and lives in a $165 million mansion, all that money in the world cannot fill up that hole in his heart. Jeff Bezos is blasting into outer space because he's looking for God. He is looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. You're drinking because you're looking for God. You're getting high because you're looking for God. You're sleeping around because you're looking for God. You're looking at porn because you're looking for God. And one day we get to heaven, we will find exactly what we have been looking for. Because verse 3, He will be with us. Heaven is still waiting for us because the Lord is still waiting for us there. And why does God want to hang out with us for eternity? Simply because He loves us. As opposed to all the leftists today who absolutely hate all of us conservative Christians with a purple prickly pear passion. Senator Chuck Schumer said this, how could 74 million people vote for such a despicable person as Donald Trump? So Chuck Schumer calls us despicable. Hillary Clinton calls us deplorables. Barack Obama calls us bitter clingers. Rahm Emanuel calls us the smelly Walmart people. Right now, Nancy Pelosi is conducting a January 6th Soviet-style made-for-TV show trial with Adam Kinzinger crying on cue to paint all of us conservative Christians as racist terrorists who want to destroy this country. That's what your representatives think you are. Don Lemon of CNN says it's us white evangelical Christians who refuse to get vaccinated that are spreading the Delta variant and killing people. But who is it that's spreading the Delta variant? Because just last Tuesday, the Biden administration released 50,000 more illegal aliens into this country. No COVID tests, no vaccines, no nothing. Gee, you think maybe that's why the Delta variant is spreading the fastest in all the states where Joe Biden is busing all the illegal aliens to? Dick Durbin tells us that all of us conservative Christians are anti-vax quacks. And we're using vaccine misinformation to kill people. So he says we need to listen to the experts like Dr. Fauci. Folks, we haven't listened to Charlie Brown's teacher for a long, long time because he lies. If he's telling fully vaccinated people right now that they also need to wear masks, then either the vaccines don't work or the masks don't work or both. Here's the facts about that therapeutic ivermectin. Ivermectin has been used all over the world for decades to treat parasitic infections. It also fights 21 different viruses, including strains of SARS and COVID. It reduces the viral load of COVID by 99.48% after the first 48 hours. Ivermectin is more effective at fighting the effects of COVID than vaccine is at preventing it. I could go on and on. And yet people all over America have to go to court order and fight like hell to get doctors to prescribe it to their loved ones in a hospital. And how many people have died because the doctors don't want to do anything except toe the party line? Who is it that's killing people with vaccine misinformation? And there is no reason on God's green earth, no scientific justification whatsoever for vaccinating kids. June the 15th. 13-year-old Jacob Clinic from Saginaw, Michigan, perfectly healthy, 13-year-old boy died 2 days after getting the second dose of the Pfizer vaccine. But see, that's okay, because more millionaires were made in the pharmaceutical industry last year than in any other time in our nation's history. Who is it that's killing people with vaccine misinformation? Christians, because we stand for truth, the world hates us. But one day, we get to heaven, God's going to love us, and He will be with us, and He will be our God, and we will be His people. He's waiting for us, folks. And because of that, no matter what's going on down here right now, no matter what you're dealing with right now, you overcome it. Because verse 4, we get to heaven, He will wipe away every tear from your eye, and absolutely nothing that bothers us down here will ever bother us up there. Like when you lose your job or lose your house. Or the divorce papers come in the mail. Or the counseling doesn't work. Or the pain doesn't go away. Or the cancer comes back. When all the hopes and dreams you have for your kids go down the drain. There's people sitting in this church right now, you have been told by your employer, if you don't get the COVID vaccine, you're going to get fired and lose your job. And I know these people. They will not cave because they have an eternal perspective. Let me ask you something. When you've been in heaven 54,939,677,422 years, do you honestly think that you're still going to care that way back on planet Earth, way back in 2021, you lost your job? Or that you had to change careers? Or that your family turned their back on you because they thought you were a kook? Of course not. So for crying out loud, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, don't set your mind on things on earth. Set your mind on things in heaven, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We focus on Jesus Christ, who is waiting for us. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you may get screwed out of down here. Everybody knows the United States, U.S. Women's Olympic soccer team won the World Cup back in 2019. And every member of that team got famous all over the world. Magazine covers, photo shoots, endorsement deals for everything from perfume to sub sandwiches and everything in between. But there was another women's U.S. soccer player who wasn't on that team that should have been. The best U.S. women's soccer player to never play in the Olympics, a born-again Christian named Jalene Hinkle. She's an all-state soccer player in high school in Colorado, all-American at Texas Tech University. 2015, she was drafted by the New York Flash of the Professional National Women's Soccer League and helped the team win a national championship that year. Then the next year, when the team became the North Carolina Courage, she led them to another national championship game. And Jalene Hinkle very quickly got recognized not only one of the best female soccer players in the country, but the best female defender, defensive back in the entire nation. So good, 2017, she got asked to try out for the U.S. Women's Olympic soccer team. And she made the roster. And they started playing games all over the world against all kinds of international competition in order to win qualifying points. But June of 2017, they traveled to Scandinavia to play Sweden and Norway. And because June is supposedly Gay Pride Month, and because most of the women on the U.S. Women's Olympic soccer team are lesbians, they chose some special rainbow-colored jerseys to wear during the matches to give a shout-out to the LGBT cause. Well, Jaylene Henkel, born-again Christian, no way in the world could she wear one of those jerseys. She was not going to honor something that God's Word clearly condemns. So she very lovingly, very graciously explained to her coach and her teammates why she couldn't wear that jersey. But it didn't matter. They just said she was an anti-gay Christian bigot. And one of her teammates, Ashlyn Harris, who is a lesbian, posted a slam against Jaylene Henkel on the team's Facebook page. Henkel, our team is about inclusion. The problem is not your religion. The problem is your intolerance. And you are homophobic. You don't belong in a sport that unites and tries to bring people together. You will never fit into this pack or what this team stands for. So Jaylene Henkel was dead meat. And the pig piling just got worse and worse because no matter where she played in America, for the North Carolina Courage, fans in the stands would boo her like nobody's business every time she touched the ball. So the honchos at U.S. Soccer kicked her off the Olympic team. I will say it again. There is nothing more intolerant than people who preach tolerance. But Jaylene Henkel kept playing soccer at such a high level. 2018, she was asked to try out for the U.S. Women's Olympic soccer team again. But only after 3 days of practice, the honchos at U.S. soccer cut her again. And folks, you talk about an absolute travesty because her coach, Paul Riley, the North Carolina Courage, says Jaylene Henkel is not only one of the best female soccer players in America, she is the best female soccer player in the world at her position. But in spite of that, Jaylene Henkel just kept speaking out, just kept sharing her faith, just kept working and grinding and playing professional soccer for the glory of God. Till she finally retired last November the 4th, 2020, and married her longtime boyfriend, Matt Daniels. And folks, you can't tell me, Christian or not, that all those snubs didn't hurt her. God calls you to be a professional athlete. You want to take your game as far as you possibly can, to the Olympics, on an international stage. And as a Christian, getting the opportunity to share your faith on a global platform and all the notoriety and all the endorsements, she got cheated out of that. The best female soccer player in the world at her position. And she missed out on all of that because of her commitment to Jesus Christ. But you know what she said about it? Sure, it's disappointing, but I can deal with it and put up with it and even forgive it. Because everything we go through down here is just temporary. And one day it'll all be over here. And we'll be with Jesus forever. You've got to take the long look on everything that hurts you. And when you do, you realize what we really want in this life is not rewards, but Jesus. And I already have Him. And when I get to heaven, I'll have Him forever. There is nothing on earth that heaven can't cure. It's not right now, but it will be right then. Amen. There's people sitting in this church right now, listen to this sermon. Your commitment to Jesus Christ costs you something too. Money, success, promotions, reputation, maybe even a guy or a girl that you thought you were in love with and one day you were going to marry. All kinds of hurts from all kinds of people. But listen to me. You can deal with it. You can put up with it. By the grace of God, you can even forgive it. Because when you get to heaven, you're going to be so caught up in all that joy unspeakable and full of glory. The former things will not even be remembered. Everything that hurt you will never even be brought to mind. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17. Whatever is bothering us down here, Jesus will more than make up for it up there. It's not right now, but Jesus will make it all right then. The second reason why heaven is still waiting for us is because the Lord is still waiting for us there. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third reason why heaven is still waiting for us. Not only because the heavenly city is still waiting, not only because the Lord is still waiting, but third, all the promises that God makes to us about heaven are still waiting to be fulfilled. And God never, ever, ever, ever fails to keep a promise. Amen. And holy sweet by and by, people, do we ever need those promises right now? The National Security Administration is now using a program called Pegasus to spy on all your texts and your posts and your private messages. The Biden administration creeping more and more toward totalitarianism. The left has already declared all-out war on God and Christianity and the Bible and the family and this country. And we see that everywhere. Blue's Clues is now teaching your kids transgender pronouns. Lego just came out with an LGBT Lego set called Everyone's Awesome. Parents, they are coming for your kids. Last July the 11th at a Best Buy store in Houston, Texas, a security guard at that store stopped a shoplifter walking out with a backpack full of video game consoles and wrestled the backpack away from him and called the cops. But then this is what happened. You know what happened as a result of that? They let the shoplifter go and fired a security guard for not socially distancing with the customer. Beam me up, Lord. There's no more intelligent life down here. John Kerry says planet Earth only has 12 more years to live. 2 out of 3 Americans say there's no hope for the future at all. The suicide rate for 12 to 17-year-olds has never been higher. I could go on and on, but thank God, thank God, thank God, His promises to us about heaven are still true. Verse 6, one of these days, God is going to say, that's it. It's all over. Sayonara, bet the farm, take it to the bank. Midnight is past, it's morning at last. He's going to reverse the curse, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. And all those bad things are going to be gone because in heaven, what causes all those bad things are going to be gone? Because there won't be any sin. And how do we know that? Notice Revelation chapter 21, verse 11. The heavenly city is a city 4 square. In other words, it's just as long as it is wide as it is high. 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles wide, and 1,400 miles high. So it's a cube. Purposely designed. According to what? Purposely designed to look exactly like what? The Holy of Holies in the temple, where the presence of God dwells. So heaven is going to be unbelievably, unimaginably, indescribably, mind-blowingly holy. No sin. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. But according to God's promise, we look forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. No sin. So no illegal aliens crash in the place because heaven has a gate and a wall and a vetting process. And no Black Lives Matter painted on the road because the streets of heaven are made of solid gold. So pure there's clear glass. Amen. And no more crime. And no more murder. Or abortion. Or riots. Or calls to DCFS for child abuse. No more cancer. No more chemo. No more root canals, no more wrinkles, no more mosquitoes. No more of those. Ever since last November, I've had a mole in my yard, backyard and front yard. I don't know, there might be 100 of them texting each other. Because holy moly, there's so many mole hills, the place looks like a prairie dog village. And I've tried everything I could possibly think of to get rid of them. From plastic worms to juicy fruit gum, from steel traps to gasoline and everything in between. I know exactly what people mean when they say whack-a-mole. And folks, I am so ticked off, I am this close to going all Caddyshack and getting some dynamite. But Luke chapter 8, verse 17 says in heaven, there is nothing hidden that will not be brought to light, including moles. People, there better be a heaven because I got a mole giving me hell in my front yard. And God promises us that assurance of salvation so that we can know that we're going to heaven when we die. Because notice verse 8, there's also a hell. And who is it that's going there? Number one on the list is who? The cowardly. People who let the fear of man keep them from fearing God and being saved. Is that you? Who's number two on the list? The unbelieving. Notice, not murderers, not child rapists. Not drug dealers, the unbelieving. People who simply will not believe the gospel. Years ago, longtime Cubs broadcaster Harry Carey was asked where he was going when he died. And this is what Harry Carey said. I guess I'll go to hell where all my friends are. Nobody really knows where they go when they die. But folks, that's not true. You can know where you go when you die. Because if you're trusting in Jesus Christ, you can know that you're going to heaven. And God wants you to know that you're going to heaven. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things are written to those of you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. That's called knowing where you're going. And you can not only have that assurance for yourself, you can also have that assurance for your loved ones who know Jesus Christ. We buried my dad in a gray suit. The only suit he ever owned his entire life. But I know that when I see my dad again, he won't be wearing that gray suit. He's going to be wearing white robes of righteousness. I still miss my dad. And I think about him every single day. And I can't wait to see him again. But folks, I got to tell you, when I get to heaven, my dad's going to have to wait a while. Because there's somebody else there that I want to see even more. More than anything else in the whole wide world, I want to see Jesus. The Savior that I trusted in and prayed to and sang to and talked about and preached about going on 40 years of my life. And I know that when I get there, just one look from Him is going to be enough. That is going to be heaven for me. When by the gift of His infinite grace in heaven, I'm given a place just to be there and to look at His face, will through the ages be glory for me. Friends will be there that I loved long ago. Joy, like a river around me, will flow. But just a smile from the Savior, I know, will through the ages be glory for me. There's a heaven, people. Are you going? Do you have that blessed assurance, trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you are going to be there someday? And Christians, heaven better be waiting for us. Because right now, there are some really bad people who are trying to create hell on earth. For years and years, people all over the world are using technology that have been embedded in their bodies to prove their identity and pay for things digitally. A digital identity, which goes right along with the United Nations Agenda 2030 that wants everybody in the world to have a digital identity by the year 2030. It's not conspiracy theory. It's right off their website. Well, also, for many, many years, billionaire Bill Gates has been trying to save the world through vaccinations. And also to reduce the population of the world by about 15% to fight so-called man-made climate change. And Bill Gates' vaccination programs over the years have killed and injured and sterilized hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people all over the third world. Bill Gates is not a nice man. Well, back in 2012, he started a program called ID 2020. Go right along with the UN idea of giving everybody a digital identity. Bill Gates' idea was to get people a digital identity through a vaccine. And again, this is not conspiracy theory. It's right off the Microsoft website. This is what Bill Gates said. We are developing a recording and tracing mechanism that can get everyone a digital ID and can be used to store all kinds of information and be delivered with a vaccine. And it will contain not only health records, but birth records, family history, financial records, travel history, driver's license, criminal history. As much information to help truly create one global community and one global economy. Does anybody see the problem here? Of course. Because the question is, what are they going to do with that information? Because whoever controls your data controls your life. And I'm not saying that Bill Gates is the Antichrist. But folks, this one world global surveillance system that he's putting together is all the tech support the Antichrist is going to need to control a one world government when it comes. And don't tell me we can't see it coming. Because even though the powers that be don't want to admit it, there are some serious, serious problems with these COVID vaccines. They're still experimental, they're not FDA approved, and they're causing all kinds of medical problems in all kinds of people. As of July 26, 6,340 deaths from the vaccines, 3,000 since last May, over 16,000 worldwide. From May 6 to July 15, 50 people just in Illinois died after taking both doses of the vaccine. And the question is, why are these vaccines even necessary? The survivability rate for COVID is 99.8%, even without a vaccine. People who are fully vaccinated can still get COVID, can still transmit it, and can still die from it. The Delta variant is far less deadly and dangerous than the original COVID-19. Hospitalizations and deaths are down over 75% from last year. Deaths from COVID fell by over 50% last February when only 2% of Americans were vaccinated. And that number fell by half again last March when only 13% of Americans were vaccinated. I could go on and on. And yet the left and the medical establishment continues to push vaccinations like nobody's business. And the question is why? If fully vaccinated people still have to wear masks, it proves that that vaccine is not stopping the spread of the virus. Doesn't it? And yet this Johnny One Note, single one-minded focused tunnel vision on vaccine only and only vaccines. The left and the entire medical establishment today has totally abandoned the idea of building up people's natural immunity through vitamin D and getting outside and exercising. And there's a total 100% gag order on anything about therapeutics like hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, even though things are curing people of COVID left and right. No, that's just vaccine misinformation that's killing people. You got to get vaccinated, and you got to get your kids vaccinated, or they're going to die. Even though out of 75 million children in America, only 307 of them have died with COVID. Every single one of them had a pre-existing medical condition. Well, Kevin, you Christians are just stupid. You just believe these vaccines are the mark of the beast. No, we don't. Doctors and nurses aren't asking people to renounce their faith in Jesus Christ and worship the devil and then get vaccinated. We don't believe that these vaccines are the mark of the beast. But the question the left never answers, why all the hype about this virus and no other virus before? Why this all-out, all-fire push to get everybody vaccinated, even people who don't need to get vaccinated, with this vaccine? And I'll tell you why. Because it's not about this vaccine. It's about the next one. And how do we know there's going to be a next one? See the vaccination card that everybody gets when they get the doses? How many spaces are on there? Not just two for two doses. There's four. Some cards have even more. And the CDC specifically tells you, you get your vaccine, don't laminate the card because then you can't use it the next time. The next time? So these vaccines are a dry run, conditioning people for the next one and seeing who's going to comply and who isn't. Because the powers that be know people would never accept the next vaccine if it was being used this time around. And what is the next vaccine all about? Well, early 2019, before the pandemic ever started, and this again is not conspiracy theory, it's right off the Microsoft website. Bill Gates, working with the idea that you can inject digital identity into people, commissioned MIT to develop a quantum dot vaccination system that tattoos information under people's skin. The end of every single one of these spikes is made up of nanoparticles. And they can never be removed from your body. They stay in there permanently. And the information that they store can be scanned with a phone app. So there's your digital identity. But not only that, Bill Gates and Microsoft also patented the technology that uses those nanoparticles to monitor people's thoughts and their activities and reward them with cryptocurrency or virtual money that they can use to buy things online if they think and act according to how the master tells them to. Do you see where this is going? And what makes it even more interesting, July of 2019, Bill Gates bought 4 million shares of a company called Serco, a military contractor that tracks global pandemic infections and vaccination systems. And to truly build up the Big Brother surveillance society, Bill Gates then bought another $1 billion worth of shares in a company called Earth Now that is planning on blanketing the planet with 5G surveillance satellites that can monitor every single person in the world through those digitally glowing quantum dots underneath people's skin. Can everybody say Bill Gates of hell? And of course, Snopes says this is all crazy because they say the patent for that nanotechnology doesn't say anything about a vaccine. Well, why would it? Because the patent was for the technology itself, not how it gets under people's skin. That's what the quantum dot vaccination system is for. Folks, everybody in the world hardwired into a system, into a global surveillance system that can control their thoughts and their actions, their buying and their selling by something been implanted in their body. Where? Have we heard that before? And if you don't think it's the mark of the beast, get this. The patent number for that technology is what? 060606. 666. And the name of the chemical that makes those quantum dots digitally glow under your skin is called luciferase, from the name Lucifer. People, you can't make this stuff up. So maybe it hasn't been about the virus all along. Maybe it's always only been about the vaccine. We're not saying that these vaccines are the mark of the beast. But what we are saying, what about the next one? See the world they've got planned for you to live in? See the brave new world that they've created for you? Because it's going to be hell on earth. And then hell for eternity once it's all said and done. And let me ask you this morning, do you want to be a part of that? Because if you don't want to be a part of that, why don't you trust Jesus Christ and join me in the other world to come, in heaven? And if you haven't made that decision for Jesus Christ, let me ask you a simple question. How long do you need to determine that heaven is a better place than hell? Because here's the good news about being a Christian. You're trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't have to worry about any of that scary stuff, about the Antichrist or the mark of the beast. Because you're trusting in Jesus. He's going to rapture us out of this world before any of that stuff even starts. And even better news is this. Whether we go in the rapture or whether we go in our sleep, doesn't matter. Because one day, we are going to wake up on the other side of night. And we're going to find out that the half has not been told. Christians, we are going home to heaven some sweet day. Home. Home. Where we belong.
They said that I would have to choose between the two, I'd go home. I'm going home where I belong. Sometimes when I'm dreaming, comes as no surprise. If you look and see the homesick feeling in my eyes, I'm going home. I'm going home. Where I belong. Such a joy to know that I am only passing through. I'm heading home. I'm going home where I belong. I'll awake and find that I'm not homesick anymore. I'll be home. I'm going home.